Well, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian Christians, Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 5, verse 2. It's in the Bibles in front of you on page 1667. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 5, verse 2. Oh, just so you know, we're not doing the David series tonight. All right, we're just taking a break. Next week or the week after, we'll be on that again. So wanted to tell you that. Ephesians 4, 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I hope you, by the way, made the connection with the fruit of the Spirit prayer you heard earlier, with a whole lot of things in that passage that connected right to the fruit of the Spirit. That was deliberate, as you may have guessed. And Paul has a certain way about him, the Apostle Paul, that he writes where you see these same patterns and themes said differently. But I hope you've picked that connection up tonight. Beloved in Christ, if you follow sports, you likely know that just yesterday, the New York Knicks became NBA champions for this year, 2025-26. Good for them. But guess what? In 5 years, maybe less, you probably won't remember that bit of sports trivia. It just kind of fades. Now, maybe you've taken a little quiz that goes something like this. Question one, name five gold medal winners from the last Olympics. Question two, name the four wealthiest people in the world. Question three, name the CEOs of the top three companies in the world. Question four, name the last two winners of the Nobel Peace Prize. And question five, name the last winner of the Miss Universe contest. Unless you have an eidetic or photographic memory, that's not a very easy quiz, is it, to get all of those? But now take another quiz. Question one, name five teachers from your past. Maybe you don't know their names, but you can picture them, who ever encouraged you in school. Name question two. Name four people who have made you feel appreciated at some point in your life. And question three, name three friends who have been a positive influence in your life. And question four, name two people who have taught you a valuable life lesson over the years. And question five, name one person that warms your heart when you spend time with them. How'd you do on that one? It's a little bit easier, isn't it? If you think about it, you probably get all of those. We slowed the questions down. Of course, it's meant to be easier. Those questions are geared to be easier because what we are looking for there are for people who have been encouragers in our lives, who aren't people out there whom we've never met, like Miss Universe leaders and or winners and that sort of thing, but rather they're people who are right here where we live and move and have our being, whom we have met and know quite well or remember very well, people who have done something to encourage us, to build us up, to edify us. People who take that Ephesians 4:29 seriously, and we slowed down deliberately for that particular verse in the passage. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's a verse everyone here tonight should have memorized, should have it under their belts. On the one hand, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. And on the other hand, say only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That verse is right in the middle of that long section in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. It's a long section, even longer than what we read, but a long section about what it means to be Christians in this world. What it means to have your life completely turned around for Jesus Christ. This section, this paragraph, if you will, is entitled Instructions for Christian Living, but it's bigger than this one. And if I may paraphrase, though, Paul says things like, when you're walking around in the dark without the light of Jesus Christ, you tend to live a certain way that's really destructive. That's destructive for you, and it's destructive for others. But when the light of Jesus Christ shines on you and you are in a relationship of love with Him, you are called and empowered and commanded and strengthened to live in a totally different way from the world. Not a way of darkness, but a way of light. Not a way that breeds destruction, but a way that builds up. And in this short verse in that section, we learn that this means something for what comes out of our mouths. Living that new way, in fact, covers every part of our lives, our thoughts, our actions, our emotions, our desires, but particularly here at verse 29 about what we say. Specifically, the words that we say, the words that come out of our mouths. Now, pick that verse apart a little bit. The first half of it is condemning the old way of living. It's the dark way, the destructive way. It's the way of living characterized by life without Jesus Christ that is letting unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. That's the old way. But you've got Jesus living in you, in His Holy Spirit. He's living in the house that is your life, that is your heart. And so what Paul says, what God says here, is that that isn't supposed to happen anymore. You're called to a new standard, God's standard of love. You're commanded then to put the old self to death, the self that would say things that are destructive and mean and unwholesome. Unwholesome words, what does that mean? Unwholesome words. What does unwholesome mean? Well, the most literal translation of that one word, unwholesome, is rotten. Rotten words. If you translate the Greek text there, word for word, in order, you end up with this. All words rotten out of the mouth of you, do not let travel out. Don't let rotten words exit your mouth, in other words. Rotten words. When do you hear about something being rotten? Think about it a little further now. We often hear about something being rotten when it has to do with food, right? Food turns rotten. I used to pick up garbage during summers in River Forest, Illinois, on the garbage truck. And on those hot, hot days, you'd open up some of the garbage cans and a blast of smelly, spoiled, rotten food would just bowl you over. And you'd carry the can. This was before the rolling carts that customers would leave on the curb, and the truck just rolls by, picks them up, drops them in the top, and puts the cart back down, and the driver stays there and keeps driving. Back then, we actually got out of the truck, walked to the backs of the houses, picked up the cans, carried them back to the truck, and you'd try to keep it to one side so you didn't have to breathe in the rotten smell, rotten food, rotten produce, rotten smelly garbage. Now, from rotten produce or food, it's only a quick hop over to agriculture, to plants, seedlings. And that's what this word originally described. It described plant life that was either diseased or was non-grafted. It came from seedlings, and the seedlings, as opposed to grafted plants, either produce no fruit or bitter fruit. And so we have a whole agricultural background to this word rotten. You've heard of root rot, I'm sure. It's plant life that has become diseased, rotted. But you see, that disease would then wreck other plants, would harm them, would begin to destroy them, would corrupt other healthy plants with its disease. Well, this text says, don't let this diseased, rotten stuff come out of your mouth because it is harmful. It can spread. We all went through COVID, and we learned how that virus, it could spread from one person to another person. We had a COVID person living on one floor of the house or one room, and everyone else in that house living on another floor or another room so that others didn't get the virus, didn't get sick. Well, that's what rotten, diseased plants can do too. And the text says that's what rotten, unwholesome words can do. Remember, how did that literal Greek translation go again? Listen to it. It's fabulous. All words rotten out of the mouth of you, do not let travel out. They're not good words for the rest of the population to hear. They're dangerous, destructive, diseased. They can bring someone else down. They're harmful words. They're part of a Christless living. They're part of darkness living. But you're no longer in the dark, for you've been made new. Jesus lives in you. Rotten words no longer belong as our words. But now, on the other hand, second half of the verse, say only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This is the positive part of that verse. This is the command for how Christians are called to live, all of us. And the first part of the second part of the verse is just like what it says. It tells us all of our jobs, that they're to build others up. It's a builder's word. It's a builder's word. It means just that. The verb used there is the same verb that means build a house. You ever think about that? We often hear that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know who helps build that temple? The Christian brothers and sisters all around you. My job is to be a home builder, a house builder, a temple builder for every Christian around me. My job is to build up their house as a place the Holy Spirit wants to live. Now, he's not going to leave that person if I tear them down, but I've got to get it through my head, and that when I either say words that harm or words that hurt, I'm messing with the Holy Spirit's house in that person. I'm messing with the Holy Spirit's house. I'm either helping my brother or sister in Christ to build their house, as I should, or I'm helping my brother or sister in Christ to tear it down. Rip a shingle off. Smash a window in. Hammer away a chunk of the chimney. Use second-rate materials. You name it. I'm harming the Holy Spirit's house. I once went on a mission trip to Rehoboth, New Mexico, years ago. And on that trip, our group, some of whom were not builders at all, like me, but some who were. And on that trip, we had to make a long sidewalk for a Christian school. And one of the first things we had to do was site the forms into which the concrete would be formed, which meant you had to check whether the forms were level. And for a while, as a mission trip sidewalk maker with no experience, I wondered why such care had to be taken. But then I realized from these guys who actually knew what they were doing that if the thing wasn't level, you'd have a wavy sidewalk, which would be fine for a skateboard park, but this was a sidewalk. For the children, it had to be built right, built well, built level. Care needed to be taken to make sure it was built right. It's the same thing for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But every Christian's job is to make sure all the Holy Spirit houses around them are looking right, are being built right. But what does that mean? The right words, encouragement, caring words for people according to their needs, helpful words, not harmful words, or rotten words, helpful, not harmful. Good job. Way to go. Well done. I appreciate you. You're doing great. Thank you. You are a big help. Attaboy. Attagirl. Do you know who has said more right words for more children in the United States than probably any other person over the last 60 years? From 1968 to 2001 and then reruns after that. Can you guess? He passed away in 2003. His name was Fred Rogers. Presbyterian minister who created and starred in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He gave us the neighborhood of make-believe, songs like Won't You Be My Neighbor? And It's You I Like, You Are Special, I Like You Just the Way You Are. You know the songs, you know the TV show. Apart from believing he was called by God to do this for little children, you know what the main reasons is that he spent his life doing this? His grandfather regularly told him those very words. I like you just the way you are. You're special, Fred. Countless lives he touched. But the problem is, of course, the show was targeted for 2 to 5-year-olds. And nothing for older ages. And keeps going, nothing. Nothing that is except Christian families, Christian schools, Christian churches, which is a formidable force for keeping it going, for encouragement, for building up, for helping to build sturdy, beautiful homes for the Holy Spirit. Back to our verse. You know how this verse ends? You see the distinction, I'm sure, by now. The old way of living is rotten words traveling out of my mouth. The new way of living is encouraging words, building others up. So you've got children of God, believers created new in Jesus Christ, saying that which is helpful, which builds others up. And you've got those darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God, saying that which is harmful. You've got helpful or harmful, helpful or hurtful. We're called to the former, to help, not to harm or hurt. Listen how the verse ends. Now, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In other words, doing what a Christian is supposed to do benefits all those around. But that's kind of obvious, and it's not that spectacular. So listen to this passage in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, a more literal translation a lot like the Revised Standard Version, a lot like the King James Version. The beginning of the verse is very close, but listen to the ending. For those who are living as Christ's new people, new creation, building others up, you do this, and the verse says, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Do you hear that? You're giving grace to those who hear your words. The King James says that those words may minister grace unto the hearers. Love that. Can you believe that? That's incredible. A Christian's words of encouragement for something else, someone else. A Christian's building someone else up with their words ministers grace to the person who hears. You're speaking out grace. You're speaking out the undeserved mercy of God into the ears of another person. Grace is coming right up out of your lungs, past your vocal cords, into your throat, past your tongue and teeth, rolling off your lips right into the ears of a fellow believer in Christ. Grace, God's undeserved mercy and love. Think about what that means. A little piece of Christ's death and resurrection is coming out of your mouth for someone else to hear. You think about that. You speak words that build up one of the Holy Spirit's houses, a fellow Christian, and you know what kind of material you're working with? It's premium stuff. First quality stuff. It's grace. Just rolling off the lips. Did you ever imagine you had it in you? That's what Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven and pouring out his Spirit. That's what it all makes possible. You speaking out grace from your lungs and your heart into the ears and heart of a fellow believer. Wow. Well, on that mission trip I told you about, we had the privilege of hearing the Rehoboth High School Choir give a concert. And in one section of the concert, a high school boy named Patrick limped up to the microphone and gave testimony of the fact that he had grown up with spina bifida, a disease where already in the womb, the spinal cord doesn't grow properly. This boy had had 32 surgeries in his 16 or so years and was scheduled for yet another one soon. He told of his love for Jesus, his love for his mom, his love for Rehoboth Christian School, and his love for that choir. The next day, after the concert, I was standing in line for lunch in the school cafeteria. They had a cafeteria with another member of the church mission trip, and we saw that same young man walking by who had spoken the night before, and with no hesitation, my fellow mission team member whom I was standing with shouted out to the high school boy, "Hey, great job last night, Patrick. You did so well." You know what happened, friends? Grace happened. Grace happened. Grace shot from our guy's mouth to that boy's ears. And that boy's face lit up like the sun, big smile. He said, "Thanks." That's grace. The Holy Spirit's house for Patrick right then and there got beautiful, brand new siding. That's what grace does. It does away with the old, brings on the new. So you go out this week and you realize once again the grace you've been given in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin and eternal life, and you go out this week and you ask yourself, to whom am I going to deploy this grace? Who am I going to build up? Who needs new siding? Who needs a new roof? Who needs all new hardware on their doors? You go out this week, wherever you find yourselves, at home with your family, at work with coworkers. Kids aren't in school right now, but when they come back, at school with classmates, wherever you find yourselves, remember that your words can build up your family. Your words can build up your fellow workers. Your words can build up your friends at school when it's back in session. Your words in that narthex can build the others up. The words you say are going to build up the houses that the Holy Spirit inhabits, that your brothers, that are your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Will you do that this week? Will you minister? Will you impart? Will you give grace to those who hear you from your heart and mouth to their ears and heart? It's a straight shot. So let nothing get in the way of deploying that grace. Encouragement, you see, is like grace. Amazing. Will you do that this week? Amen. Our Father in heaven, remind us often this week of that very thing, that encouragement, our words, in encouraging we deploy grace into the life of another so that they are built up, so that the Holy Spirit's home is made even more beautiful because more grace from one of us is put on that home. Help us to do that. Remind us of that through this week, that that's what we are to be about all the time. Help us to be encouragers. Help us to show grace to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.